Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
One hell of a weekend for you, my friend. What happened in Lawrence?
Nothing.
Other than you lost your voice.
I got a little bit of drainage going on. No, I'm fine. We had the best weekend.
I'm fine.
Yeah, drainage. Is that what we're going to call that?
Yeah, it was my daughter's very last KU Moms weekend.
Good.
And boy, did we blow that sucker out.
did you take Lawrence by the throat and say, stay down?
At one point, all I know is we were at the wheel and we heard last call for alcohol. And I looked over and I go, oh my God.
Wait, that's 2 o'clock in the
what
morning.
What time is it? I have not been up since 2 o'clock in the morning, I think, since I gave birth. I don't stay up late. I certainly don't stay up late in a bar. But we're singing and we're dancing in there, and they played the Grease soundtrack, and I lost track of time.
Grady Dick showed up.
Oh, my God. Some of the KU basketball players were there, and I'm
at
like,
the wheel?
We're going to need a selfie with the moms.
At the wheel?
Yes. He walked right by. God bless him.
I remember when the wheel was sort of like the... That was where you went when you were under 21.
No, it's definitely over
it's
21
changed now.
It's definitely the upperclassman bar, yeah, and she's a senior. So I did not realize he is in the NBA now.
Grady Dick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens when you leave KU.
You
right.
go to the draft and then you get...
God bless him. He looks like he's 16 years old. I'm like, they're going to hurt you, young man, when you get into the NBA.
What are you doing to protect
Be
yourself?
Be careful. They're going to harm you. Just the cutest little thing. We got the cutest little picture with him.
And who else? You met Hunter Dickinson?
Yeah, he walked right by. He's like 9 feet tall. I'm like, you play basketball, don't you?
Were you not able to secure a picture with Hunter Dickinson?
No, I was like, we should let them alone. Let them have a good time.
You didn't leave Grady Dick alone?
Well, he was a little bit closer in proximity than Hunter was. But, you know,
did you have a good time?
I did. You do kind of feel bad for those boys. They can't go anywhere because, I mean, they're 9 feet tall. It's like super obvious when they walk in who they are.
Okay.
Heads touch the ceiling. I'm like, that's a basketball player.
Okay.
No, it was a good time.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
We had a good time. Had the gang over yesterday for a barbecue.
Yep. Sorry, I missed that. Was still in bed.
No, it's all right. Sam showed up. Grayson was there. Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby showed up.
Yes.
And so we celebrated T's and Heather's birthday yesterday.
It looked like
and
a good time.
Yeah, we had brats and burgers. It was a good time. It was a really, really good time.
Good. That makes me happy.
So we all sat on the back patio and
which, by the way, I feel
told
horrible.
War stories.
I showed up late because I had to work yesterday.
That's right.
And I feel horrible because I had no idea we were celebrating anybody's birthday. And I walked in and walked right past T, just like, hey, how you doing?
It's all right.
Didn't know it was her birthday.
That's okay.
I felt so bad when I found out like 5 minutes later that we were there celebrating a birthday.
Well, we were celebrating two because Heather across the street,
yes.
Her birthday was yesterday. And then T's birthday was last week when we were in Mexico. And so, yeah, we were just barbecuing and having some birthdays.
You know this, Sam. Without Facebook, I would miss every single person's birthday in my life. Like probably not my children, but even then maybe. Like if there's not a reminder on Facebook that's like today's so-and-so's birthday, I'm like, meh.
By the way, tell the story about when you got to Lawrence on Friday and the t-shirts.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my word.
I'm going to allow the other moms to rip this off because already people have asked me, can I please rip that off? Because it was
so funny.
All of the senior girls in Sophie's senior graduating class either asked friends of ours for the most hilarious, mortifying photo of us in college. And Libby and Carrie delivered, let me just tell you.
So Sophie had the picture of you when you were Miss Junior Kansas.
Whatever it was. All of the moms, when we showed up, the girls were all wearing these hilarious white t-shirts with blown up photos of mom on it from like 1992.
And the hair back then.
And
I mean, that picture was 85%
hair. The hair was bigger than your face.
Do you remember though, back in like 1990, like we all aquanetted, we like flung our hair over, we teased it to the sky.
Hair due to the moon.
So please rip that off for your next like senior girl thing, because we showed up and hit the floor laughing, and each mom's photo was worse than the last one. I mean, so, you know, the That's one where awesome. You're like leaning on a tree in your like high school senior photo.
How about this one?
Yes. The contemplative on your wrist. There was one that the mom was doing that on her wrist, like looking over here, like, I don't know what we were thinking about.
I'm 18 years old, and I'm about to solve the world's problems.
Yeah, when did the 1,000-yard stare become a popular pose for pictures?
We took those out to the bars Friday night. Oh, my God. Even the bouncers were like, wow.
Did you show your KUID?
I did not. Well, one night I did, but not the second night.
What? No, whoa.
That's just the gift that keeps on giving. I forgot my wallet the second night.
Okay, but on the night that you did show your KUID, how did that go over?
I always say to the bouncer, would you like to see my KUID? And they
I would not.
What? And they go, yeah. Then they see that hair and they go, wow. Because the hair, you're right, took up the top third of that photograph.
The hair is as big as your face.
Yeah, easily it took up the top third.
Also, a quick correction from the text line. Last call in Lawrence is 2:30.
Okay. Yep. Whatever that was.
Is that true?
That's what they say.
So late we couldn't get Taco Bell Uber Eats to the condo.
You couldn't get diarrhea?
Yeah. And we tried. That pattern was full.
Mm-hmm. And you thank yourself for it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, ask me anything.
All right. Taco Bell's not a client, so I don't care.
No.
What is it with you and late night drinking and Taco Bell?
I don't know. It just always sounds so good.
It does not sound
good. No, and then the next day you're like, why? Like the Nancy Kerrigan, why? Why did I do that?
Taco Bell is a disaster decision.
It is. On top of other disaster decisions. We came home, watched Bridesmaids, and passed out on the couch. That's what we did. No Taco Bell.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. What do we got coming up?
We have a bunch in the stack today. At some point, we do need to talk about just briefly the records that Taylor Swift smashed over the weekend. One of our local police departments has released a nod to law enforcement and some of those songs that has gone viral. It is the funniest thing I have ever seen. I'm not going to tell you which police department, but you know, everyone's kind of getting in on the Taylor Swift, like, because if you post something and it's funny, it will go viral.
Okay.
And one of the police departments did, and I'm just going to give you a taste of it. They took one lyric from all 31 songs and framed it through the eyes of law enforcement. So the hit song Fortnite, this is the lyric. I wanna kill her. Reply, murder is illegal.
Okay.
And they get funnier from there. I'll give you one more from
it's a great song.
Poets Department. The lyric is, quote, throwing spikes in the road. Police Department, we can do that. You can't.
Cannot. We can do that. You cannot.
But Daddy, I love him, quote, I'd rather burn my whole life down. Reply, arson. Also illegal.
A felony.
We will give them proper credit later on Dayton Parks because it's so funny.
That's funny.
Speaking of illegal, we had this story in our stack about a week ago. You were gone.
Okay.
And almost immediately my phone exploded with replies from people that I know saying that this illegal thing is happening here. And there are already a couple of lawsuits about it. One in California, one in Oregon. Because if you are the mother of a teenage girl, we want you to listen to this next hour. But if you are the mother of a teenage boy, you really have to listen to this hour. You know that I have both kinds. AI, deep fake nude photos in your high school.
Mm.
This is not just happening on the coast. I immediately got a text from a friend of mine that said, this just happened up north. We're dealing with it right now. What is it? How illegal is it? It is very real for the victims who are girls who are going through this. And boys, you got to talk to your boys. It is not funny. It can land you in a whole lot of trouble. We're going to talk.
Land you in jail?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you this. The school districts need to be on alert because they're going, wait, what? What happened? Is that against the law? Like, they don't even know how to deal with it, Scott. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it and break all of those cases down straight ahead on Dana and Parks.
All right, welcome back. If you have a question for our conversation as we continue it, You're welcome to text it in at 913-586-7798, 586-7798.
So we're going to start with the New York Times because they just updated their story a few hours ago. And here is the story today. And if you are the parent of a teenage girl, if you are the parent of a teenage boy, you need to be having these conversations now. The story says, spurred by teen girls, states are now moving to ban deepfake nudes. Legislators in 24 states are right now working on bills or have passed laws to combat AI-generated sexually explicit images of minors. And they talk about a high school Seattle student named Caroline Mullett. And a few weeks after prom, she and other female students learned that a male classmate was circulating fake nude images of girls who had attended their dance, sexually explicit pictures that he had fabricated using an AI app designed to automatically, quote, strip clothed photos of real girls and women. Her dad in that case happens to be a Washington State Senator. I hate the idea that I should even have to worry about this happening again to any of my female friends, my sisters, or even myself, she testified. The father, as you can imagine, is furious. 24 states are scrambling to get ahead of this. And we first told you about this last Monday. Scott was gone because there are a couple of lawsuits about it, Scott. I think one in Washington and one in Oregon. They are civil suits because the laws just have not caught up. And as soon as we talked about it, my phone went, bzz, bzz, bzz. Oh, yeah, this is happening here. It's already here in Kansas City.
Where?
Here. And we welcome in our guests, Mama and her high school daughter, we will call Annie. Because as soon as you guys heard us talking about this on Dana and Parks, you were trying to get in contact with us saying this is not a California problem. This is not an Oregon problem. This is happening here. And I'm going to start with you, Mom.
Yeah.
How did you find out that this happened specifically here in Kansas City?
Yeah, my kiddo came home from school and told my husband and I about some people, some girls that she knew at school that this is happening to. And then, you know, followed up kind of with the story of what the school is or is not doing to address it, which is, you know, unfortunate. And we can get to that. So, yeah, she came home and just said, you know, this was, and this is the first I had heard of it. Like, you know, you hear of other things about AI on the news in stories, but you don't think about how it's going to affect your child or child's friends,
sure,
you know, and in a local high school.
And in all of the stories I've read, I mean, all of the stories I've read, the schools do not know what to do. So the worst thing you can do is nothing, which is what we're seeing. They're mm-hmm. like, we don't even know it's fake, but you tell the girls that or the parents of the girls that the internet is forever.
Sure.
It very much looks real.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like photos of your
Absolutely.
Nude child.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a child's face on somebody else's nude body. And so the trauma is real. The devastation is real. You know, the embarrassment, the shame, that's all real, whether or not the photo is, you know, an actual real photo.
And Annie, this happened to three of your friends.
Three of my good friends, yep. And it was like a group photo of all of them together.
How did they find out about this?
Yeah.
It was circulated, and I think it just went to the wrong person, and someone let them know. And they immediately contacted the boy, and he denied everything. And
so how did they know who was responsible?
It's an online platform, Scott. Like, if I shared a nude photo of you on Facebook, it comes back to me that
it
shared
come
that.
Back to, okay.
There's a digital
okay.
footprint.
So there's okay. a digital footprint.
Got it. Okay.
So the issue really isn't how do we catch them. That's pretty straightforward. The issue is, for all parents listening, you need to be having conversations about this right now at the dinner table, that this is unacceptable. The trauma is real, Annie.
It is. It really is. And I'm really good friends with all three of these girls. And like, just talking to them about it, they're really upset and they just feel really violated and exposed.
And sure. And people are going to college. People are like applying for sororities, like all of the stuff that comes with that at your age. We know that the mental health component of all of these mm-hmm. things that our children have gone through in high school has been tough for everybody.
Yeah.
Mom.
It's a whole different world. Boy, I, you know. it was so much easier when we were growing up, right? So it's just a whole different world with the online space, with social media, with photography, and then AI opens up a whole nother can of worms. And so I think one is the trauma of the actual photos themselves, because the people that view them, they don't know that they're fake or real. You know, all they're seeing is the face of a person that they know with a nude body. So that's one part of the trauma. Then the other part of the trauma is it just kind of being almost maybe dismissed. It feels like, I think, to the girls, not taken seriously, not being handled in a serious manner. And I feel like that's almost just pouring salt in wounds.
And mom, is there no blowback at the school level? Is there nothing that the school can do?
You know what? That's probably a better question for Annie, because, you know, I'm not at school, but to my knowledge, nothing has been done yet.
I want you to tell our audience what you said during the break, that if you get caught vaping,
you get a 10-day suspension. If you're in a fight, you get a 10-day suspension. If you're recording a fight, it's a 10-day suspension. Almost any, like, little thing you can do can get you a 10-day suspension. But
deep fake nudes of girls in your school
will not even get you removed from school for one day. Or an ISS, he hasn't gotten an in-school suspension. He hasn't gotten OSS.
What's OSS?
Out of school suspension. You have to be furious.
Right. Well, I am, because and the reason that you were told, Annie, that there was going to be no repercussions was because
supposedly fake.
Yeah, the pictures are fake,
and they can't do anything.
Like, what can we do about
it?
Because the pictures are fake. But then I'll go back to, but the trauma is real. The devastation is real. The embarrassment, the shame is real.
So let me read further into the New York Times story. And we're not picking on one high school. Scott, all of the high schools have been caught with their pants down on this. Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
Really?
Saying, infamously, one parent said to a principal, "Why didn't you turn this over to the authorities?" And the principal looked at the mom and said, "Turn over what?
What's the crime?
This isn't real." So this is from the Times story. Fake AI generated depictions of real teenage girls without clothes may not constitute child sex abuse material, experts say, unless prosecutors can prove the fake images meet some legal standard for sexually explicit conduct or the lewd display of certain body parts. Some defense lawyers are already trying to capitalize on the apparent legal ambiguity. A lawyer defending a male high school student in a deepfake lawsuit in New Jersey recently argued that the court should not temporarily restrain his client because the kid did create AI nude images, but the argument is from the lawyer, they are not harmful or illegal because they are synthetic. They aren't even real.
Dana, I heard you mention something along those lines, I think, the other day. And in my head, I was thinking, that principal who said, like, turn over what? Like, what if those nudes were of that principal?
Bingo.
What if those nudes were of him or of her? Like, would that be okay
right.
with them? You know what I mean? Like, and so how would you deal with that, you know, as an adult? Now I want you to try to picture yourself being a child. You're still in high school. You are a minor.
Is the argument, though, that the bodies that are used are those of people who are over the age of 18?
No, the bodies are fake. It's all AI fake.
I understand that. The faces are imposed on other people's bodies.
The bodies are fake too, Scott.
Oh. But it's still a private part. It's still something that shouldn't be viewed by anyone other than yourself.
And to me, Annie, you are absolutely right. I think the moment you put someone's real face to a fake body, it no longer is fake.
Agreed. Well, and what is the intention? The intention is to mortify, embarrass, expose,
yes.
et cetera. So can we also look at where the intention is coming from?
Which would fall into the realm of harassment.
And also, like, there's defamation of character. There's impersonation. I mean, there has to be something.
So punishments can be severe. But again, the school district, Scott, and the states just have not caught up with this. Under the new Louisiana law, any person who knowingly creates, distributes, promotes, or sells sexually explicit deepfakes of minors faces 5 to 10 years in prison. In December, in Miami-Dade County, police arrested two middle school boys, ages 12 and 13, for making and sharing fake nude AI images of female classmates, ages 12 and 13. Mm. Mm. We have got to get a handle on this yesterday, and it doesn't stop what has already happened in your high school, Annie.
Yeah, my high school claims to be a very safe place, and they they hold assemblies all the time that we can come and talk to them whenever we feel unsafe. But going to school with someone who's doing this to girls and he is still there, I don't feel safe going to school. Yeah. I don't want to have any pictures of me get out. And it terrifies me. It terrifies me going there and seeing him.
What is the reaction towards him in school right now?
I don't know if people necessarily talked to him very much before this, but I mean, I think now no one is talking to him.
Has he become like a pariah?
I just think no one's talked to him.
Let me ask you this, Mom.
Yep.
How is this different than revenge porn? If you look at the intent of revenge porn, which we know is illegal, okay? I am angry at you. I take a video of you without your consent, and I put it out for public dissemination. That's illegal everywhere.
Yes.
How is this different? Because the intent is to humiliate.
It is. I agree with you 100%. I don't think it's any different. I think that, you know, it's so like multi-layered because there needs to be such strong conversations happening with our young boys on, you know, do not do this, as well as girls. I mean, it's possibly not boys. I don't know. But then there also needs to be the conversation with the young girls. If you hear that this is happening, this needs to happen. Then we need to figure out what does school need to do? What do the parents need to do? Where does the law need to get involved? I mean, there's so many layers, but I agree with you 100%. The intention is to really mortify and embarrass and humiliate and shame. That's never okay.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. Do appreciate your time. Annie, thank you for coming in. Mom, thank you for coming in as well.
Yeah.
Do appreciate it. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, we did something during the break that we rarely do, and that's called research. The Kansas child pornography laws. What is prohibited? Possessing a, and I understand that this case that we're talking about is from the Northland, but we're going to do Kansas and Missouri. In Kansas, possessing a visual depiction of a person under the age of 18 years of age, engaging in sexually explicit conduct with the intent of arousing or satisfying a person's sexual desires. Sexual exploitation of a child is a felony punishable by 55 months in prison. If the child is under the age of 14, life in prison. In Missouri.
But any defense attorney, and this is the problem, is going to say the images aren't real. I'm not saying I agree with that, Scott.
They're intended to be real.
The way the law reads, you are depicting a minor under the age of 18 in an obscene photo. That is a depiction.
And Sam, let me read what you provided us from Missouri. A person commits the offense of possession of child pornography if such person knowingly or recklessly possesses any child pornography of a minor less than 18 years of age or obscene material portraying what appears to be...
Bingo.
What appears to be a minor under the age of 18.
Okay, so Missouri, hats off, they added that one little word, appears. Kansas needs to go back and add that word. And yesterday, they have to go back and add that word. I feel like as long as that word is in there, it shuts down any argument that, well, it wasn't really her.
From the text line, and I welcome all of your opinions on this. This is a regular legal issue. This is a parent issue. This is not a school issue. That's from 3809.
Well, I mean, if I do something outside of school in a group chat or do something stupid online, I will get called down to the office and they'll talk about it at school.
Especially if you're in extracurricular activities.
Yep. Even if it's not on school property or about school, school will still get involved. So I don't know why they're taking this as an opportunity to be exempt from it.
My theory is that is the parent of a boy. But let's just for one moment throw this out there. If you can deep fake nude and shame a girl in high school, you can most certainly deep fake and shame a 13 or 14 year old boy in high school. My panic with the fact that the laws are behind on this is the mental health component. Yes. This will lead to suicide, Scott. It will. I'm telling you, this will lead the humiliation involved, whether it's your actual nude body or not,
albeit manufactured.
You cannot overstate the damage this is going to do to these kids. And listen to this. One boy with his phone in the course of one afternoon can victimize 40, 50, 100 minor girls. Quoting here from the chief legal office for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And then those images are out there forever.
Let's go to the phones. Richard in Independence. Richard, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey, so I'm a former SRO. And, you know, the school that I was at had a very strict cell phone policy. We didn't allow cell phones in the school during school hours. Or if you were there for any other activity, those phones had no business inside the schools. And my argument is simply this. Some adults have proven themselves, a lot of adults actually, have proven themselves very irresponsible with this technology. And kids are following the same suit. I think schools need to go back to enforcing the no cell phones rule. I know that's going to be a challenge because when you have a student body of 1,700 plus and every one of them's got phones, it's kind of hard to enforce that.
Okay. And Richard, thank you for the call. I don't know how that would solve what we're talking about here, because some of these images could easily have been produced before or after school. Annie?
These were photos, I mean, already on social media. I mean, they were out in the world, but I mean, nudity was added to them after they were posted and already clothed photos.
I don't think taking cell phones out of schools has anything to do with this.
No, but how are the kids looking at these images?
Well, once it's out there at 4 p.m. after school, it spreads like wildfire, Scott, which is why...
But they're looking at these images on their phone, whether it's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I know kids don't really...
But it doesn't mean that they're looking at the images between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. And the other question and I've got three texts out to local prosecutors. If you are just looking at these images, are you breaking the law? If these were actual nudes of the, like, say, the 12 and 13-year-old in the case out of New Jersey, you're breaking the law just looking at it, let alone disseminating it.
Did you open the image on your phone?
If you did, I think, Sam, you are in possession. I agree with you there.
Justin in Shawnee. Justin, good afternoon. Hello, welcome.
Hi. I guess I'm not intelligent enough to understand how digitally altering an underage child's pictures into sexually explicit pictures is not creating child pornography. So I guess I'll feign ignorance on that one. Additionally, apologies to the victim. This is horrible. I have a daughter and she's not in school yet. I hope to God we can figure this out before my daughter reaches school age.
Yep.
But I think this lends credence to the fact that as a society, like, we are inching closer and closer to not just needing a digital bill of rights, but we require one for all of us now.
Like, bingo. And Justin, let me ask you, to the texter who said this is a parental issue, not a school issue, you say what?
I think it is a school issue because they're students, and when your child is, you know, under the care and provision by the school, their job is to make sure that you're not doing anything incorrect. I mean, the underage girl said that, you know, when she does something wrong out in public, not on school time and not on school grounds, she's going to get called into the office, especially if she's in sports or anything like that. Why are we making this anything different? And it's solely from the simple fact that they can right now. It's something that they can wash their hands of and pass off to someone else. We need to make it their problem.
Hmm. Justin, do appreciate the call. Let me read this from the text line. You are naive, writes 4157. You are naive if you think these nudes are new to these kids. Do you have any idea how many girls send boys in high schools nude pictures of themselves? Give me a break. This is different.
This is completely different.
This is not young girls... foolishly, stupidly,
avoidably,
sending pictures of themselves to boys. This is a boy who is superimposing the face of a girl onto the body of somebody else who is not theirs. And then using that to either, I don't know what you want to call it, intimidate, bully, embarrass, shame these girls with pictures of their face on somebody else's body, Annie.
Yep. I mean, if it's getting sent, I mean, it's voluntary, but these were involuntary. These girls didn't choose to have their bodies showed like that. I mean, even if it isn't real, it's still on them.
And it's still attached to them. That argument that just came in as a feminist makes me want to vomit, because what you're basically saying
is
if a young woman has chosen to share a nude with someone over the course of her life, then you are somehow consenting and opening up a portal for people to abuse that woman in other arenas for the rest of her life. That's a despicable argument. A despicable argument.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. Stephen in Olathe. Stephen, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So a couple of different points. You know, I'll tell you that it is a parental issue, and I'll get back to that. But I remember listening to Handle on the Law good 5 years ago. He was telling of a case of a lawyer that was defending a defendant who had superimposed the facial image onto a nude body. And to make his point in court, he had the attorney had done the same thing, and the judge had him arrested for production of child pornography right there inside the court. The attorney was arrested for that. And to get back to the parental issue, let me tell you that the phones are not these children's. The phone plans are not these children's. Those computers at home are not purchased by the children. And we need to start arresting the parents for having devices with child pornography on them, whether it's a daughter who is taking nudes of herself or a son who is producing AI nudes of a girl at school. It needs to be handled with the police, not with the school. You call the police and let them sort it out criminally.
Right. Well, and I will tell you this. I think the reason that we're seeing the needle start to move on this is that one of the victims in one part of the country happens to be a state senator's daughter. One of the victims in another part of the country happens to be a police officer's daughter. This could happen to anyone, male or female, any underage male or female. And I hate to call that the good news, that if this happens and there is a some sort of policymaker or a mover and a shaker in that poor victim's family, we're starting to see some movement on this. But we shouldn't have to have thousands of victims before lawmakers act.
As we wrap up our conversation with Annie and Mom, this one text: schools cannot be held accountable for this action. I don't disagree with that. However, schools can get involved and can take action.
Absolutely.
You may not be able to be held accountable. The school is not responsible necessarily for what some dumb 14, 15-year-old kid does
but
when he's at
home. If they can sideline him for vaping or posting a photo of a fight, you would think you should
Correct.
Be expelled
Correct.
For creating fake nude photos of your classmates.
And to move this kid from a class so that he's not around your three friends, Annie, that seems to be a bridge not far enough.
So two of the girls happen to be a little bit older, so I know they don't know each other. They don't run with the same group. They don't do the same curriculars. I mean, they don't run with each other. So they had to have met at school. So I think essentially it is a school issue. I mean, they wouldn't have known each other other than at school.
Well, if they're having rallies and things about online bullying, how is you know, they can still have conversations
this
at school with the students.
Clearly falls under the umbrella 100%. Of malicious bullying activity.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that at all.
Will you keep us posted, please?
Absolutely.
Thanks so much. We'll keep trying to do what we can do on this end, and we're going to make this the bonus hour today so parents are in their cars and they can hear this. You have got to talk to your teenagers, and I would say talk to your administrators in school. Tell them now that this is here. Don't wait to read about it or listen to it on Dana and Parks you're reading about it in the New York Times and you're thinking, oh my God, that's happening in New York and California. This is here.
Annie, Mom, thank you for joining us. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Good to be with you. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. here on KMBZ.
Okay, so from one of our Missouri prosecutors, just for some clarity, the test is, Scott, whether an ordinary person viewing the depiction would conclude it's an actual minor. Would an ordinary person, if you just showed them that photo...
It's a deep fake. How would you not know?
Would an ordinary person think, oh my God, that's a naked photo of these three girls? Yes, an ordinary person would think it's real.
Absolutely.
He should be prosecuted,
therefore it is
period.
But to your point earlier this hour, Dana, has the law not kept up with the technology?
We need the word appears in Kansas the way that it is stated in Missouri.
No, you said that reversed.
In Missouri, the word appears.
She's correct.
Appears is in the law in Missouri.
Oh, it's not in Kansas.
However, yes. in the state of Kansas, they do use the term depiction. I would argue AI porn is a depiction of a minor under the age of 18 in an obscene setting. And does it pass the test?
Everybody in the show's like,
does it pass the test to Dana's point of would a common person looking at that photo think to themselves, oh, yes, that's a minor? Yeah, the faces of a minor.
And by the way, one thing that was missing in our conversation, if that is my son,
oh,
when he comes home tonight, I'm getting out the belt. I am getting out the belt. Shame on you, parents.
Well, something tells me there's not a whole lot of strong parenting going on in the home of the individuals creating such
content. I mean, clearly word is getting around in a small country town that this kid is doing these AI deepfakes and putting the faces of these classmates on naked women. When he comes home, he's getting a whipping.
A whooping?
A whooping.
A whooping.
A whooping.
All right.
Because there's an H after that W. That's a whooping.
That's right. Go get a stick.
Go pick your switch. A former Atlanta Braves player is calling on the team to sign him for one day so he can qualify for a pension that he's been trying to get for more than 40 years. He needs one more day.
Oh, come on.
One more day.
One day.
By the way, he's from Garden City. Gary Cooper, baseball player. He says baseball player was everything to him. He spent several seasons playing in the minor leagues with the AA Savannah Braves. That's all we did. We played baseball. Then in the summer of 1980, he got word that the legendary Hank Aaron was calling him up to play for the Atlanta Braves. I said, man, are you crazy? So when I got home, my father told me, my mother and my father, they already knew before I did. It was a dream come true. But he played for 40 days in the major leagues.
Give him one day.
He needed one more day to get his pension from the Atlanta Braves. And he didn't
get it. You know, when they called him in on that day, he should have just turned around and run and been like, can't fire me if you don't catch me.
Check that. Check that. Can't catch me. He played 42 days for the Atlanta Braves. He needed to play for 43 days on the active roster to get his pension from Major League Baseball. And he never got that 43rd day. So he's asking for the Braves to hire him for one more day.
Okay.
So he will qualify for the minimum pension for Major League Baseball.
Fine. Do it. When we get back, the biggest nod ever to one of our local police departments for taking one of the most popular albums of all time and framing it through the lens of a police department. It is one of the funniest posts I have seen in ages. It is local. It has gone viral. And we will tell you which police, and it's not Lawrence. You're going to think it's Lawrence because Lawrence is always the funniest.
I was going to say Lawrence.
It is not Lawrence. I will tell you who it is when we get back.
Well, they ramped down their funny stuff years ago when they got in trouble by the
DA. No, they're back, baby. They're back.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. They're back. Also, what is the monthly salary of a stay-at-home mom?
Oh.
We'll get to that and much more. Coming up in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.